Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, April 21st, 2015, episode 11.01, the NFL Draft Preview Show. Yes, that's right. You heard it correct. Episode 11.01. That means a new season is here. Back for another season of NFL Rants and Raves. I had to come back for an 11th season, and I just can't contain myself. Today, the NFL released the schedule for 2015, and it looks pretty good. I'll take a look at some predictions for the top of day one in the 2015 NFL draft with Sky Sports News NFL reporter Richard Graves. And good buddy, are you ready for another season, people? I am. I'm excited, and here we go. Chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, so the draft is just 8 days away, and it's going to be in Chicago. So for the first time in a very long time, you don't have to go to New York to see who your team is going to pick this year in the NFL draft. A lot of good prospects out there. A little bit later on in the show, a good friend Richard Graves from Sky Sports News is going to join me, and we're going to talk his mock draft for the 2015 NFL draft. I've got some thoughts about where some people are going to go, and he and I are actually going to debate the merits of whether the Dallas Cowboys should pursue running back Adrian Peterson. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, but before I start, I mean, have you all seen the trailer for the new Star Wars? Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Let me tell you, man, it looks really good. J.J. Abrams is not disappointing. I'm just a little shocked because there's so much going on in that little two-minute trailer. There's a huge Imperial Star Destroyer that has crashed into the desert planet, which we are now finding out is not Tatooine, but is Jakku. And there's a busted up, crashed X-Wing fighter and Luke talking about how the Force is strong in his family. His father has it. And he says, and notice he says his father has it, his father being Anakin Skywalker, also known as Darth Vader. And he says has and not had it. So we have to believe that somehow, some way, Anakin, whether being Force power, the way they communicate with each other, once they're no longer in their body, maybe he's still around and he will have a part. I am hearing some rumors that Luke Skywalker's character, Mark Hamill, he is. It's very interesting about his character. I don't want to divulge too much because I don't want to give any spoilers because I know some stuff. That's going to be an interesting storyline. And, of course, the families of Luke Skywalker and how they go about their business. I'm really excited for Star Wars. End of this year, 2015, right around Christmas time, Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And the Force has awakened inside of me. I'm pretty excited about that. I hope you are too. But before I get to football and bring in Richard Graves, I want to talk about Game of Thrones because it is back, people. Game of Thrones in all of its glory is back. Season 5 has started 2 weeks in, and I still just cannot get enough, man. The episode ends, and I'm like, wait a minute, but what about this? What about this person? And why are they going to go do that? Very excited to see how some stuff is playing out. Finally, spoiler alert, if you're not caught up with Game of Thrones, you may want to turn off your iPod for a couple 30 seconds. Dany found her dragon. So Drogon is back at the end of episode 2. He is back with her. And what does that mean? Does that mean she's going to move on, or is she still going to try and help these slave cities on the other side of the narrow seas? It's very, very cool. She is one of the top storylines that I love. Jon Snow working with the kings, and he has made the offer to remove the last name Snow and make him a Stark, which only a king can do. No longer be known as the Bastard Son. But it looks like Jon Snow's going to turn him down. So it's getting good. It's getting really good. I understand that it might surpass some of the books. It might give some of the books, spoil some of the future books that are being written in the series. But it is just far too good for me. I can't wait from week to week. And you know what? It's just because there is no football. There's no football on Sunday, so what else am I going to do but wait for the Game of Thrones to come on, and that kind of gets me through these brutal, brutal months where there is no football on Sundays. All right, before I bring Senor Gravesy on to talk to me about what is going on in the NFL, there is a lot of news since we last did our Ravy show. And finished out season 10. Basically, the Cleveland Browns decided to unveil a new uniform. And to the Browns organization right now, I just got to say, what in the world are you doing? Huh, the logo change, the new uniforms, they are just ridiculous. They are awful. They are ugly. I don't even know if they made a change, except change some colors, except on one particular uniforms, they put their name Browns going down the side of the pant leg, and I just thought that looks freaking redonkulous. You know what, Cleveland, you got some bigger things to worry about than what your uniform looks like, especially let's start with your signal caller. Johnny Manziel, who is now out of rehab, he's attending the voluntary workouts that the Browns are having. He released a statement, Browns head coach Mike Pettine coming out and saying that Johnny Manziel is still very much in the plans for the Cleveland Browns, and it is ridiculous to think that the Browns have moved on from Johnny Manziel. To him, I say, well, is it really that ridiculous? Because some reports are thinking you're trying to move up to nab Marcus Mariota in the draft. So obviously there's been some rumblings about that. And if you're going to go and move all the way up to 2 or 3 to get Marcus Mariota, I would think it's safe to say you're no longer considering Johnny Manziel to be a starting quarterback in your franchise. So we'll see how that plays out. Coaches and GMs right now saying one thing, but you know they're usually trying to do something else. And that's just the way it is right around draft time. It's time to talk about that draft. It would not be my first show of the season if I didn't have someone make an appearance. And who's my go-to guy? Good buddy of the show, NFL guru for Sky Sports, Richard Graves. What's up, Gravesy?
Hey, Steve. Great to see you. It's been a while. Been too long. Let's do this.
It has been too long. Are you ready? Within 9 days, the NFL will kick off its draft, and this time it's in Chicago. I'm excited about that.
I am excited. We've had a couple of months now with no football. It's been sort of simmering as we build up to the draft and we see various analysts give their mock draft predictions. But in the last couple of days, it's really picked up pace here. Momentum's growing. 9 days away. All the final interviews, final visits have been done. You hear about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for instance, went as far as Hawaii to speak to Marcus Mariota's high school coach just to find a bit of background about him. So everybody's doing their due diligence on the top draft prospects. And quite frankly, I cannot wait for next Thursday night in Chicago.
Well, that's awesome. I'm just excited that I don't have to listen to New York Giants fans boo every time the Cowboys make a selection. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I tell you, there's going to be a raucous atmosphere in that auditorium. The Chicago Bears fans have made their feelings clear on the performance of their team over the last year especially. They've got big hopes, picking at 7 this year, new coaching staff on board. They'll be eager to see what sort of luck their team has going into the 2015 season.
The only way the Bears fans would be happy is if the Bears trade Jay Cutler, move up to the second pick, and select Marcus Mariota with number 2. That's the only way Bears fans would be happy.
Well, if Bears fans are hoping for that to happen, I'm going to burst that balloon right now. There is no way they are trading Jay Cutler. No one's taking on that contract. The Bears are locked into it. Marcus Mariota is not going to be going to the Chicago Bears.
All right, buddy. So before we get into your drafts and your specifically your mock draft, because I think you got a little bit of wishful thinking there in your mock draft. We'll talk about that in a moment. First, right now, within just a couple of hours from us talking, the NFL is going to unleash and unveil its 2015 NFL schedule, but I've got a few nuggets for you already. Do you want to hear them?
Hit me with them.
Week 1, the New England Patriots open up Thursday Night Football at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow, big AFC battle. Pittsburgh rebuilding as well. A lot of parts have been lost from that much vaunted defense. Some older players disappearing from the game. They'll need to draft well. The Patriots, they're not the same team that you and I saw take the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona just a couple of months ago. They've lost Revis. They've lost Browner. They're two cornerbacks who really they pinned a lot of their defense on. Going on islands, that could be an intriguing matchup. It's a big one between two big storied franchises as well. That'll be a great night.
The problem with that is that the New England Patriots continue to get lucky. They will get the Pittsburgh Steelers without Le'Veon Bell, who's been suspended for the first couple of games. So here you go. Once again, the Patriots start the season. They get the Pittsburgh Steelers, who aren't at their full strength.
Wow. Cut these guys some slack. They overcame all the odds last season, Steve. You said that they may not even make it to the playoffs. They made it to the playoffs. They made it past the championship game. They went past the defending champion, Seattle Seahawks, to lift the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to get some private investigators to check Pete Carroll's account, because I think he handed the Patriots that Super Bowl with that awful, awful call. But don't get that. That's not about the Super Bowl. We're in the draft. But before we get to the draft, two more games. Week 1, the New York Jets will start at home, and they will play host to the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. I've got to tell you, I am excited about the 2015 New York Jets. Even before we see how they draft next week.
Without Sexy Rexy?
Yeah, look, I think the Jets have done well in free agency. I like Todd Bowles going in there. He's brought back Darrelle Revis. They've got Antonio Cromartie back there as well. Their defense already is better. For me, all they need is somebody under center that can throw the ball to his receivers. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker. Watch out for the Jets in 2015.
I think we have our first 10 quid bet. And I bet you that this year, Sexy Rexy and the Buffalo Bills will not only beat the Jets once, they'll beat them twice.
Wow, that is a big call. Can I just say, before you start throwing your money around, you still owe me £40 sterling. An outstanding bet for 2 years
okay,
now.
Hold on one second. In my defense, I was prepared to pay you when you were over here visiting the States, but somebody made it very clear that he wanted pounds sterling and not U.S. dollars.
Well, I felt the exchange rate wasn't really my favorite time.
So there you go.
I want to see those crisp £10 notes.
Okay, well, then don't say that I have not paid. I was prepared to pay my debt. But somebody did not want to accept the green U.S. dollars, so I'll just leave it at that. The final Week 1 game that I already know before the NFL even announces its broadcast, Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys will play host to the New York Giants.
Well, let's be honest. NBC, no, straight off the bat, That is a ratings winner. Two games last year, both taken by the Cowboys as they swept the Giants. But who isn't looking forward to seeing the likes of Odell Beckham Jr., Dez Bryant, Romo, Manning, and seeing how these two franchises go in the draft as well. Tom Coughlin looking to rebuild his franchise. The Dallas Cowboys looking to take that next step. That's going to be another classic in the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm excited, obviously, because the Dallas Cowboys get a primetime game. But the Cowboys have owned the Giants here of late. Seriously. They've dominated the Giants
over the last six games. The New York Giants.
They've won five out of the last six, and that only six that's lost was the fingertip, the Dez Bryant fingertip just being out by a tip. They could be 6-0 with the Giants over the last six games.
They could be, but they're not. And that's the great thing about the NFC East. You know, even if it's the Washington Redskins playing, and let's be honest, even this season, hate to tell you this, Redskins fans, your team's going to be bad again. They're going to be bottom of the NFC East. But every rivalry in this division produces a good game. And we're going to get that on the opening Sunday of the season with the Giants and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that Sunday Night Football game. So those are the three games from week one that I do know about. I know of a couple others, but we'll move away from those. We'll head to the draft. Let's start, my buddy, with your mock draft, which if you guys have not seen it, go out to skysports.com, look under NFL and the Sky Sports mock draft by Richard Graves. I love it. It's there. But I've got some bones to pick with you, my friend.
Let's have them. Let's hear what you've got.
Okay. First of all, wide receiver Kevin White. No way this guy falls out of the top 10. It's just not conceivable. Not when you got teams like the Oakland Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons, who are all going to be looking for wide receivers.
Well, let me tell you what I was thinking. I was drawing up my mock draft, and there at number four I had the Oakland Raiders just 5 days ago. Wide receiver Kevin White with the fourth overall pick. The very next day, we wake up here in the UK to find out that the Raiders have signed Michael Crabtree.
But it's automatically Crabtree. Filling a need.
I hear what you're saying. I've had people get in touch with me on Twitter saying that Crabtree isn't an out-and-out number one receiver. That might be true, but he's a veteran receiver in the NFL. Opposite him, he's got Jones. And I just feel that the Oakland Raiders have enough holes to say we can't put all our eggs in one basket there. They need help in rushing the passer. And to that end, I've gone with a guy that many people believe is a tweener, but I think is proven at being able to rush the passer, the 2014 SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Shane Ray.
All right. No, I mean, I like Ray. I think he's a great player, and I think Ray is a top 10 player. I saw Kevin White slip all the way to number 12. I was like, I don't know. This wide receiver is too good from West Virginia to fall out of the top 10. Then I have to go down. I have to talk to you, my friend, about the 27th pick, the Dallas Cowboys. You have running back Todd Gurley there. I haven't seen any other mock draft, nary another mock draft, where Gurley or Gordon are anywhere near 27.
Well, I'll go one step further and tell you, I don't think the San Diego's aside, and they're the wild card in the pack here, if the San Diego Chargers picking at 17 do not take a running back, I don't think we see a running back go off the board in the top 20. And I have Melvin Gordon rated marginally higher than Todd Gurley purely because of the ACL injury. ACLs at that position ring alarm bells. The only person we've seen come back successfully inside 12 months from an ACL injury and show the sort of production that he had the year before is Adrian Peterson. Arguably the best running back still in the NFL today. So there are question marks over Todd Gurley about his health and durability. No question about his skill set. But on that basis alone, I think it scares off a few teams, a few general managers. I don't see a lot of teams in the top 20 needing help at running back. And that's why I see Todd Gurley slipping all the way down to the Dallas Cowboys at 27. If he does, the Cowboys will be delighted because all along I've had them going for the defensive side of the ball this year. I don't think they can resist Gurley if he slides to 27.
If he's there. But look, not only is the Chargers, the Cleveland Browns have two picks before the 20th pick overall. They've got 19, I think, overall, and they've got, is it 12 or 13? 12. So 12 and 19th overall, the Cleveland Browns are sorely in need of a running back ever since they let go of Trent Richardson, which was to their credit. It was a good move getting some stuff for Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts, but they left a hole there. I still think they need a running back, so they might use one of their two picks to go running back. I certainly think the Chargers are going to consider it because they lost Ryan Matthews to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the Arizona Cardinals, which obviously are another team that is in the sweepstakes for Adrian Peterson. They're at 24. They're before the Dallas Cowboys. I just think there's four or five places where running backs could go before the Cowboys. Look, I would like to see Gurley fall to the Cowboys. If he's there, take him. It's a done deal. But it's going to be very I thought it was maybe a little wishful thinking there.
Look, as far as the Cleveland Browns go, I think they staked their flag to the mast last season when they made the change late in the season, released one running back, kept the two rookies on the roster. And I think they feel that if they get their offensive line intact, get their players fit, I think they saw enough in the early part of last year, say they can create holes, and they're quite happy with what they've got at tailback. If they need to add to that, I think also you look at the running back class in this draft, and you can probably get a good running back in the second and third rounds. With their two picks, they could easily trade out of one of those. That isn't beyond question. If they stay at 12 and then 21, I think at 12, should Kevin White slide down there, I think that's where the Cleveland Browns go. They take Kevin White off the board, and then at 21... Not at 21, rather, but at 19, I think they look to help the defensive line. Malcolm Brown, big defensive tackle. I think he fits their needs.
All right, let's look to the Dallas Cowboys. This is something I've been throwing out for weeks. And although you have word from Stephen Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, because I saw where Stephen Jones says that he doesn't see the Dallas Cowboys using draft picks to trade for a veteran player. He doesn't need to name the player, obviously. We know who everybody's talking about. Why not? If you're at 27, let's say the clock is ticking two picks before you. Gordon and Gurley are off the board. You need a running back. There's obviously no one of Adrian Peterson's quality or caliber at the 27th pick. Why not package this year's first rounder and next year's second or third rounder for Adrian Peterson? Why are you such against that?
No way. Absolutely no way. I know what Adrian Peterson brings. I know we heard the conversation last summer when Jerry Jones said, we'd like to have you playing in a Dallas jersey. But Adrian Peterson is now the wrong side of 30. He's commanding $13 million a year on his current contract.
Hold
with
on
the
one
Minnesota
second.
Vikings.
Let me jump in there just for a second. He's not on the wrong side of 30. He's 29. He turns 30 this year. He didn't play at all last year. And a couple years before that, because of the injury, he missed several games. So he's fresh. He's got fresh legs. He's not 30 yet. And you got to consider that he didn't play at all last year.
I hear what you're saying. But if you're going to spend that sort of money and commit those sort of high draft picks to a 30-year-old running back, which, as you say, he will be come the start of next season, then why, oh, why do you not put a package together to keep DeMarco Murray, who's 27 years old? He's just come off a career year, broken Emmett Smith's record. It makes no sense. And then you look at the running back class, the likes of Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, even if they're off the board by the time Dallas pick at 27, why do Dallas not then consider trading out of the first round? If they want a running back, Ameer Abdullah will be there, Duke Johnson, Tevin Coleman, TJ Yeldon. All these players bring something to the board. Jay Ajayi will also be there, who offers an ability to return punts, kickoffs. It just doesn't make sense. When Dallas have gone through the salary cap pain that they have endured over the last 2 years, cutting the likes of Hatcher, DeMarcus Ware, letting DeMarco Murray go because he didn't fit their salary structure, it would make no sense to blow that wide open just to bring AP to Dallas.
I understand that, but I think that there's a sense where AP, being from Texas, would probably be very happy to be out of Minnesota, and he'll restructure the contract. I think if they can get him to restructure his contract to bring it down to where it's about $8-9 million a year for 3 years, I think it makes the Dallas Cowboys a very dangerous team.
It might do right here, right now, this season, but they've been there before. You know, when they big money and then end up having to cut them all as they were on the downslope in their careers and they had to live with the salary cap situation. I think under Jason Garrett, I think we saw with the draft last year when Jerry Jones resisted the temptation to pick Johnny Manziel. I think we're looking at a completely different philosophy in the Dallas Cowboys war room today. And I'll give you some more quotes from what Stephen Jones said early this week on local radio in Dallas. He said, draft picks are so important for us, and that's where your value is in the salary cap era. I see us using all of our picks and hopefully doing it in a good, wise way. Hopefully, when the draft is all said and done, we'll have really improved our football team. And I think therein lies the crux to this matter. Dallas are not looking just to build a team to win right now. They're looking to build a team that can win now and have longevity to it as well. And Adrian Peterson does not fit that bill when you're having to surrender a one this year, a two next year as a minimum.
I think that the Dallas Cowboys are in a position, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where I think their offensive line is selling them a bill of goods that, hey, we can stick anybody back there and he's going to be pretty good. I'm not sure that's the case. And then one more point about Adrian Peterson. I could probably show you 10 to 12 runs last year where DeMarco Murray bust through the offensive line, he was in the open field, and he got brought down. Adrian Peterson would have taken those to the house. There's the difference. There is the difference in the running back styles between those two backs. I love DeMarco Murray, and I wouldn't say anything negative about the kid. What he did last year was phenomenal, especially seeing as he continually got hurt in his previous two seasons. So he stayed predominantly healthy most of the year. I think he missed a game, maybe a game and a half, which still was a problem. And I think one of the reasons why the Cowboys did eventually decide to let him go. And he touched the ball over 550 times. That's just outrageous and almost unheard of. I like the Adrian Peterson move if they can get him to restructure his contract. But if not, I don't see anybody in the first or second rounds that are going to be able to help the Dallas Cowboys at that position.
I completely disagree with you. I think if we weren't in the salary cap era, then what you have just said would make sense. But I think when you look at the Melvin Gordons, the Todd Gurleys, I think you've got backs there that not only offer help at tailback, but help in special teams. And I think essentially as well, Dallas have invested so much in their offensive line in drafts over the last 4 years that they think those sort of backs will complement that line and will be productive. I also think that Dallas desperately need help on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
And if you're wrapping up picks in a trade to go to Minnesota, then you're hurting that ability to help your defensive side of the ball. There's no way Dallas gets surrender picks to Minnesota for Adrian Peterson plus take on his salary. As much as Jerry Jones might want to, it doesn't happen.
Well, I'll call you next week when something happens this weekend and Sunday you wake up and it's like, oh my God, what happened? I'll be calling you. We'll talk about it. All right, let's focus.
If it happens, I will gladly come back on this show and eat humble pie.
All right. Richard Graves eating humble pie. That's always awesome. Folks, we're going to take a look now at the top five spots in this year's draft happening in just a few days. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to focus mostly on Thursday. First couple of picks. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the number one overall pick. Is it a lock? Jameis Winston, boom, right off the gate. They're going quarterback. Is he their guy?
I wouldn't say it's a lock. You and I were at the Rose Bowl to see the Florida State take on Oregon in the semifinals of college football this year. And I've got to tell you, I wasn't sold on either Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota in that game. I thought both lacked accuracy at points in the game. I thought what we saw from Winston on the sidelines when the game was running away from Florida State rang alarm bells and red flags all over the place. But in Mariota, you've got a guy that I don't think took more than 7 snaps under center last season playing for the Ducks. He's not used to pro-style offense. I think in different eras, you'd see, or different draft classes, you'd see both Winston and Mariota dropping down the board behind other quarterbacks. I think the need is such for a signal caller that you'd see both these guys go off the board inside the first 6 picks this year. But I've got to tell you, if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm looking at Jameis Winston and saying, yeah, I've got a guy that played at Florida State in a pro-style offense and led the team back to come from behind victories in the past season. But he also threw 18 interceptions at college level, which again rings, you know, red flags all over the place once more. He got his team into those problems to start with before getting them out. In Marcus Mariota, you look at his stats, 42 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year. Sounds great, but all in a spread offense. Not, I hear that he learns and picks up, and from guys that have played with him, they say he doesn't make the same mistake twice. That's all great, but is he ready to go straight in? Probably not. So if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, look, you need a quarterback. So I think they probably go with Jameis Winston, but I'm not sold on it.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, you said earlier that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went all the way to Hawaii to meet with the high school coach of Marcus Mariota. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one thing we could say about them is they've done their due diligence. But are we in a position here, you know, 20, or I don't know, what was it, 18, 19 years ago, the Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf? Remember that? It looks like the Indianapolis Colts made the right choice. They went with Peyton Manning, made the right choice. Indianapolis Colts just a few years ago had Andrew Luck or RG3. Once again, looks like they made the right choice in Andrew Luck. Are we going to look back in 5-10 years and say Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, if they go with Winston, will they have made the right choice?
Well, first off the bat, neither of these quarterbacks we're talking about this year are Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. They're just not.
No.
However, I think Jameis Winston, I see, when he comes across in interviews, we saw with Steve Mariucci last week, and so he says all the right things. Everything you hear is what you want to hear if you're a general manager of a football team. You see him go through the drills on his pro day and at the combine, and his accuracy was beyond question. But what I've seen in competitive game action at Florida State last year, and then at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, is a guy who is prone to making errors.
Yeah.
And yet, yes, he's shown that ability to bring his team back, to come from behind wins, but he makes the errors to get them in that situation in the first place. And you know, the NFL is not such a forgiving place as college football. So I would be tempted, if you have to take a quarterback with your pick, I would go for Marcus Mariota. I think he seems to soak up information. He seems to take on board what he's told. He seems to get better, not just year on year, but game on game. Admittedly, I don't think he's ready to be successful right here, right now. But 2 or 3 years down the line, we may look at him and say he was the quarterback from the 2015 draft.
All right, so there you go. I think the Buccaneers have a big decision to make. But I think based on what Lovey has said, I think they're pretty sold on Winston. I think that's where they're going, even though I don't agree. But what do I know? I thought RG3 would be better than Luck.
Well, on top of that, with Winston, of course, you've got the whole Florida connection. Tampa Bay are looking to get more supporters through the turnstiles. It would be a big draw. But I agree with you. I think Tampa Bay take Winston. I'm not sold on him being the right choice, however.
Yeah. All right. The number 2 pick belongs to the Tennessee Titans. There might be some rumblings that they are okay with possibly moving down a few spots, trading that pick. But if they stay put, who might Tennessee look to pick up?
Well, I agree with those sentiments. I think if the right offer comes in, I think Tennessee may well trade out of the second pick. I think all the rhetoric you've heard this week says that they're going to stick with Zach Mettenberger at quarterback. They seem quite enthused by what they've seen from him at the end of last season and so far in the close season. If they stay in the number two slot, though, I think they go with defensive lineman Leonard Williams, somebody who can help their defense, help get generate a pass rush as well, help turn over the ball as much as anything else, and give their offense a chance. Leonard Williams would be the guy for me.
Yeah, Leonard Williams seems to be the consensus for most of the people that I've talked to as well, going there at number two to the Tennessee Titans. Can I just ask you a question, though? Just saying the name Mettenberger, does that sound like a guy that you want to be your starting quarterback?
Hey, it doesn't matter what he sounds like. It matters what he looks like and what he produces. And if he can get the job done, he can be called any name he likes.
Okay, you're true. But it's still left to be seen whether he can produce or not. Looking at number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or as you know, the London Jags, they are actually going to have a couple folks from England announcing their sixth and seventh round picks this year. What do you see them doing there with the number three pick?
I see them staying at number three. I like what Gus Bradley and the team have done in the last couple of years there. I think they drafted well last year as well. I think they look to the defensive side of the ball. They've had a fair turnover in free agency, losing Red Bryant, but then adding players in as well. And I think they look to add their linebacking core and help the pass rush. And to that end, I think they go with a guy, Dante Fowler Jr., who has looked good. He's sawed up draft boards widely, whichever analyst you look at. I think he's the guy that fits their system, and I think he makes an immediate impact.
All right, Dante Fowler Jr., I've heard of him. He looks like a good prospect there, especially for a team that needs to contend with stopping the run. They've got in their division, obviously, the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts, teams that run the ball pretty well. So that would be a good linebacker to acquire there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Moving on, the fourth pick, the tricky Oakland Raiders are on the board. Once again, it seems like almost every year I find myself looking at the Oakland Raiders picking in the top five. Here they are at number four. What do they do to improve their football team?
Well, we touched upon this earlier. I had them, like most other people, going wide receiver with the fourth pick. But I think the addition of Michael Crabtree changes the dynamics a little bit. So Derek Carr now looks at what he's got in terms of weapons, and he sees Jones on one side, he sees Crabtree on the other. I think they look to, again, help their defensive side of the ball, look to generate turnovers, because they brought in veterans through free agency to help their pass rush last year. They look to a guy who got 13-plus sacks in college last season. Shane Ray comes in, and I think he helps them out.
All right, Shane Ray from Missouri, pretty big guy, 6'2", 245-pound, listed as an offensive linebacker. Do you think he'll play defensive end?
I think he needs to bulk up if he is going to play defensive end.
Right.
But I think if they see enough in him, they can work on that during the offseason and help mold him into the guy they want for their system.
You know what? If the Oakland Raiders can bring themselves to not go for the speedy Kevin White and stay away from the wide receiver, and they take someone like Ray or another defensive person there at that position, you might start to look at an Oakland Raider team that may finally be getting it and finally be trying to build their football club. I just don't see it, though. I still think that Kevin White's going to entice them too much, and they're going to say, look, if we can have Crabtree and White, and then we put Speedy Jacoby Jones in the slot, and now we got three guys that Derek Carr can get the football to in space, we might finally be able to do something on offense. And that's what the Oakland Raiders might be doing.
I hear you, but look what they've done with their coaching staff this year. They brought in a new head coach. They've also brought in Rod Woodson as well, who's been working on his coaching through the Seattle Seahawks system. He comes in as an assistant defensive coach as well. And I think they look to bring speed to that defense to try and turn over the ball, give Derek Carr more opportunities. And that's why, to that end, having got Crabtree in, I know everyone looks at it and says, well, he's not a natural number one wide receiver, but I think he fills a need for them. And right here, right now, I think they're looking to not necessarily to build what they had in what was seen in Seattle, but build a quicker defense that can turn over the ball. And that's why I like this kid, Shane Ray.
All right. Well, let's get a couple more picks in before we call it a day. The Washington Redskins at number 5, a lot of different possibilities there for Washington. I'm looking at, you know, I don't want to say anything too bad about the Redskins because people will get mad at me, but I mean, the Redskins have a lot of holes on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think they could go linebacker, they could go cornerback, they could go safety. Their defensive line up front isn't too solid. So there's a lot of different places that the Washington Redskins could go. What do you see them ultimately moving on?
I don't think you can say enough bad things about the Washington Redskins team right now. And that's not trying to rile Redskins fans. That's just an honest opinion when you look at the state of their franchise at the moment. Of course, you've still got the problem between the head coach and RG3. You know, they weren't really on the best of terms at the end of last season. Now, that's all sort of gone quiet, but that's going to have to be addressed before you go any further. I think you look at players that they had and lost, Brian Arakpo, to free agency, and you're right, defensive side of the ball would be a natural need, but I think they also need to protect their quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, whoever it was under center last year, be it Robert Griffin III, be it one of the backup quarterbacks, they were spending a lot of time on their backside on the ground.
They were McCoy, yeah, everybody back there.
Exactly, you know. So to that end, I think they take the first offensive lineman of this draft class off the board.
All right.
I think they go with Lael Collins to try and strengthen that offensive line. Again, though, honestly, they could pick at any spot, and you'd say that would help their team. They've got a lot of holes to fill.
Wow, that's pretty neat. They got a couple pretty good wide receivers, and they got running backs. Okay, they're okay at some positions.
If you can't create holes for your running back to run through, or you can't give your quarterback enough time to find those wide receivers, they're no good to you.
Yeah. So what do the Redskins do with RG3 and Kirk Cousins? That's something that they have to make a decision. Are they going to go into training camp with, say, let's create a quarterback competition, or are they going to go into training camp and say, RG3 is our guy, it is his job to lose?
I think they'd like to say, and you'll probably hear them say, there's a quarterback competition going on. But at the moment, I don't see any way they can go other than say, this is RG3's team. But let's not forget, they gave up a king's ransom to the St. Louis Rams to trade up and get RG3. And the issue you've got in Washington is that his rookie year, he was outstanding. He single-handedly hauled them off the canvas and got them all the way to the NFC East title and into the playoffs at the expense of the Cowboys. Since then, not so good for RG3 and the Washington Redskins.
Yep.
He's been plagued by injury. He struggled a little bit with confidence last year. There's been accusations that perhaps he hasn't quite understood the system that the new coaching staff tried to install offensively last year as well. There are clearly issues. And you've even heard that the coaching staff openly criticise his play during games. None of that creates for a harmonious locker room. And certainly, if you don't have that, it's highly unlikely you're going to have a winning football team. So I think if we were going to see anybody other than RG3 be quarterback for the Washington Redskins in the coming year, we'd have seen RG3 traded out of Washington by now. That hasn't happened. So and there's arguably argument that says that Colt McCoy, having signed a new contract this offseason, because he was going to be a free agent, let's not forget, there's a good argument that says he's now the number two quarterback in Washington.
So Kirk Cousins has fallen that far for the Washington Redskins that he would be behind Colt McCoy?
If you go back 12 months ago, people were actually not suggesting but questioning whether or not Kirk Cousins was the number one quarterback in Washington. He got his chance when RG3 got injured, and it having come in that game and thrown touchdowns and looked good in a losing cause, he then bombed. His subsequent games weren't good. He ended up being replaced by Colt McCoy. I think he slid down to number three in the depth chart. And I think a man that at one point 12 months ago the Redskins might have tabbed as being able to get a third round pick in a trade for, now his value is minimal.
Yeah, yeah. Stock has plummeted, absolutely. All right, we'll move on. The New York Jets get to pick six. A lot of, once again, new coaching staff, new regime. Is this a team, though, that if Marcus Mariota is on the board, can they afford to pull the trigger and take Mariota at six?
They absolutely cannot afford to ignore Marcus Mariota if he's still on the board at number six. I've got him there, and I've got him going to the New York Jets. He could be the final piece in this jigsaw for Todd Bowles and his team up there in New Jersey. You look at what they've done in the offseason. They've got rid of Percy Harvin, who by all accounts was a bad influence in the locker room. They've brought in Brandon Marshall, who's had his own issues in Chicago, but is a proven commodity at wide receiver in the NFL. He will complement Eric Decker, and on his day is as good as any wide receiver playing football today. On the defensive side, we've already spoken about bringing in Darrell Revis once more.
You kind of cut out there near the end. What was that last thing you said about Percy Harvin and the
I was saying, by all accounts, Percy Harvin was a bad influence in the locker room. So they've shipped him out to Buffalo. They bring in Brandon Marshall, who's had his own issues at Chicago, but on his day is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, still playing football. He complements Eric Decker. And then on the other side of the ball, we've already spoken about how they brought in Cromartie, brought back Darrell Revis. Yep. I really think this team is now primed with the right man under center to make a challenge in the AFC East. If they can grab hold of Mariota at six in the draft, he could be that missing piece. Remember, all you need to do with a defense like the Jets have got is have somebody who can manage the football, not turn it over like we saw Vic and Geno Smith do last year. Mariota, for me, would be that guy.
All right, well, there you go. I just can't fathom that Marcus would drop all the way to six. I think someone's going to have to move up to two to get him. I still think that the Tennessee Titans might be a smokescreen the way they're talking. I think everybody right now and what they're saying and what they're talking, smokescreens, just kind of thinly veiled. Everything's kind of hidden. They don't want to give anything. They don't want to tip their hand. That's why I'm telling you, watch out for the Cowboys this weekend. Maybe be talking to the Minnesota Vikings right now. But I think that Marcus Mariota, if he falls to six, the Jets would be crazy not to get him. I just don't see him falling that far. I think he goes with the top three picks.
There are two things there. One is, I'm sorry to break this to you, Steve, but you are dreaming. If you think by this weekend, Dallas will engineer a trade and get a package together that sees Adrian Peterson come down to Dallas and play for the Cowboys next season. Secondly, a story from 12 months ago, and I love this story. It concerns a local reporter on the Jacksonville Jaguars who regularly discussed things with Gus Bradley, the head coach down there. And the day before the draft, he rings up Gus Bradley and says, right, just give me a tip of the hat ahead of tomorrow. I've got three players that I want to ask you about. He asks about the first one. Gus says, yeah, he's a good player. We've checked him out. We rate him quite highly. He asks about the second one. Gus again, yep, he's another guy we've got on our board, we've been looking at. Third player he asks about, quarterback Blake Bortles. Gus Bradley turns around and says, hang on one moment, I've got another call coming through, I have to take this, let me get back to you later in the day. So they hang up on the call. Gus Bradley never gets back to him. So never denied the Blake Bortles thing, but managed to steer clear of it, never mentioned it. And then, of course, we all know what happened in the 2014 NFL draft. Yeah. The first player off the board for the Jacksonville Jaguars was none other than Blake Bortles.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, This is funny. I'm going to leave you with this. This just got tweeted out by an account called Not SportsCenter, and it is supposed to be the leaked Oakland Raiders schedule for 2015. Week one, they play the Browns. Week two, they're at Michigan. Week three, they play DeVry. Week four, they play the Browns again. Week six, Long Beach High School. They have a bye week eight. Then they play Harvard and Yale in back-to-back weeks. They play the Browns a third time. Then Louisiana Tech at Vanderbilt. And then they play the Browns in back-to-back weeks, weeks 15 and 17. So there you go. That's the Oakland Raiders schedule for 2015.
Wow, it's going to be quite a rivalry with the Cleveland Browns this year by the sounds of it.
Oh, that's quite funny. That cracked me up a little bit.
That's funny.
Anything else? Where are you going to be Thursday night round one, Friday night rounds two and three, and then Saturday rounds four through seven? Where are you going to be for those?
Thursday night, I'll be watching the first round of the NFL draft. For the folks in the UK, it'll be broadcast live on Sky Sports through the night. And then on the Friday night, I'll be down in London getting ready for Saturday night, our time, when the fan who's won the competition over here gets to announce live on the NFL Network the sixth and seventh round picks for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's where I'll be. Sky Sports News with Jim White will be live in Chicago building up to the draft next week as well. All bases covered on Sky over here in the UK. But look, it's one of my favorite times of the year. 9 days to go. I can't wait.
All right, buddy. You've been listening to Richard Graves. Richard, thank you as always for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And hopefully if things continue on, we can continue to have you coming on and being a guest on NFL Rants and Raves. And I promise that I will make sure you get pounds sterling silver for your bet here. But if you want, I will be willing to go make a bet that Rex Ryan and the Bills not once but twice beat the New York Jets this year.
Well, I tell you what, let's see what happens in the draft, and then we'll revisit that bet.
All right, buddy. That's been Richard Graves from Sky Sports News. Make sure you check him out the weekend of the draft. If you have not yet seen his article, it's up there. It's his mock draft for the 2015 NFL draft, and he's got some good points to make. He'll also be on Sky Sports News on Saturday for the final day of the draft, talking about some of the picks happening there, as well as talking to the fan that was selected by the Jacksonville Jaguars to announce those final two picks there in the sixth and seventh round for the Jaguars. All right, that's how we do it. You know, we always get to the show, and Richard and I start talking. Next thing you know, we've talked for 45, 50 minutes. Before I leave you, though, I want to say thank you to everyone who continues to support NFL Rants and Raves and support the show, keep it going. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. The National Football League has just released its schedule. 2015 schedule is out, and I was, as I said earlier to Richard, it is official. The New England Patriots will host the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football in week one to start the season. On my birthday, Thursday, September 10th, it's like a birthday party for me. I will just be hanging out watching the New England Patriots. Later on that weekend, on Sunday, the Jets will host the Browns. The Bears will host the Green Bay Packers. That's going to be a good one. The St. Louis Rams will host the Seattle Seahawks. And the Denver Broncos will host the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. As I said before, the Dallas Cowboys will open their season against division rival New York Football Giants. And a Monday Night Football doubleheader, as the NFL has been doing over the last few years. The first game on ESPN is the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Atlanta Falcons. And then later on ESPN2, then we'll move to ESPN, the Minnesota Vikings taking on the San Francisco 49ers. That's a good set of games to start the season. You also have Lions at Chargers, Saints at Cardinals, Colts at Bills. Rex Ryan's going to have a tough order right off the bat, and the Bengals will travel to Oakland to face the Raiders, and Carolina at Jacksonville to play the Jags. Lots of good stuff. The other thing that you need to know about this year, the NFL is celebrating Super Bowl matchups. Almost every week, not every week, but almost every week, there is a Super Bowl matchup from Super Bowl I through Super Bowl 49. In week one, it is the Miami Dolphins traveling to Washington to play the Washington Redskins in a rematch of Super Bowl 17, where the Redskins defeated the Dolphins 27-17. That was a long time ago, back in the Rose Bowl in 1983. So every week, and like I said, not every week, but mostly every week, there will be a Super Bowl rematch. Week two, as a matter of fact, has a pretty big one where the Jets play the Colts. You remember that one where Joe Namath had his guarantee. That's a Monday night football game, week two on September 22nd. And so every week, just look for some of those. If you go out to the NFL's website, those games on their weekly schedule are kind of bold in gold because it's heading up to Super Bowl 50, the golden anniversary of the Super Bowl. So week three, there's the Pittsburgh Steelers facing off against the Rams and the Chiefs facing off against the Packers. Lots of good old-time Super Bowls to talk about those old games. And I think the NFL is doing a really cool thing with this whole 50, celebrating the 50. I think the 50-yard lines are all going to be in gold all year long. And I just couldn't miss it. I had to be there, and that's why I'm back for another season. So thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for continuing to support the show. I hope that I can work out some pretty big things and do some pretty huge things with NFL Rants and Raves this year. If you are in the States, please shoot me an email, steven@rarn.net, as I am going to try and host some meetups, especially when I travel out to some of the games this year. And, of course, all you folks in the UK, please continue to send me emails as well. I am going to try and make a week-long event in London, as week 7 and week 8 have two games, Bills, Jags, and I believe in the Lions is the second one. I'm going to try and go to that first game and then spend the week in London, or hopefully, Mike, if you're listening, buddy, maybe come up north, to visit you during the week, for a few days and then come back and be there for the weekend for the second, London game in back-to-back weekends. So that's the way it is. That's the schedule lining up. Make sure you come out to the website, www.nflrnr.com. I will have a PDF of the entire 2015 schedule for you to download. And here we go. It's off. We're off and running. Another season is upon us. And I hope you keep on joining me for the ride. I'm Steven Miranda for NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.